It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, and we're going to be in the 27th chapter. And as we look at Matthew chapter 27, we're going to begin reading with the 27th verse, and we're going to read down through the crucifixion. And so it's going to be a great study today, and so please that you don't miss it, and hopefully you can open your Bibles and follow along. And so Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to begin with verse 27. And so as you look that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to contact us, you can contact us by writing to Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, it's 217-440-4402. That's 217-440-4402. And if you would like to check out our website, we have many studies there. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Our Constitution is there. Our plan of salvation is clearly presented, as well as many studies that are there for you to enjoy. And so please that you would do that. And if you'd like to, why, you could email us at parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com or parkviewbible@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for this wonderful study, beginning with Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him. They put on him a scarlet robe. When they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, and they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. They crucified him, and they parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. And he trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." And the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And we're going to stop reading there in verse 44, because I don't believe we're going to get any further today. And so the word is powerful. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time together. I thank you, Father, for all that are here to listen, to hear it today. And so please that you will guide and lead us through your precious word. We must have the direction of your Holy Spirit to so lead us. And so please, will you please guide and lead us this day through your precious word. show each one of us what we need. If to be saved, if we need to receive the salvation that you hand us, then today is the day of salvation. Maybe it's a day that we just need to hear from you. We need to be strengthened. We need to be led by you. So, Father, please, just guide and lead us today. Guide and lead us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look and enjoy this precious word, the last time we were together, I had a verse of scripture in Romans, and when I got to it, I realized that it was not the correct verse. And so we kind of ended with that, and it was concerning the soldiers and the laughter they had. Well, as soon as I finished with the program, I realized that it was not Romans 4:11. It was Romans 14:11. I just forgot to put the one in the front. And so in here is the verse of scripture that I was looking for last time we were together. And for it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Now my point is that these soldiers and all these people that we just read that scripture from, as they poked fun and laughed, and as we said the last time we were together, this was almost an entertaining, something that they enjoyed doing in bringing and in whipping the Lord Jesus. And they enjoyed it when they did it to any of the criminals. It was a joy to take that whip with that broken pottery on the end of that whip, and as it would just literally rip the flesh right from your shoulders and your back. They enjoyed that. You say, how can they do that? Is because their God is the devil. And I'm going to make this very clear, because if you have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus, so is yours. You wonder why so much evil is in the world today. It's because the world's God is the devil, not Jehovah God that created the world and spoke it into existence, the very God that sent his Son to die on the cross to save me, to take my sin away. No. Most of the world today bows down and worships the devil himself. But there's going to be a day that every knee will bow. And these soldiers, Pilate, all the Pharisees, all the Sadducees, all the scribes that have misled the people in taking them down the steps of the law and not by grace and bringing them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, all those that led people astray and chose not to trust in the Lord Jesus, their knee will bow. And once again, I'm going to read from Romans 14:11. It is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Now, it's not going to save them. It's not going to help them one bit. But they will bow before the Lord. So if you say, not me, yes, you. Every individual. You can do it now willingly and accept Jesus as your Savior. Or you can say no, and God will make you kneel before him and confess that he is Jehovah God. That day will come. So please that you do it today, because it's going to make a big difference in your life. But if you choose to wait, you're hellbound. Hellbound. Come back to Matthew, and we look at this scripture text here, and we, as we read and we find that they, the soldiers of the governor, tells us who they are, took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. This is 27:27 in Matthew. And they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe, and when they'd planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." What blasphemy, because he is God. He is King of the Jews. He is Lord of Lords. They had no idea who they were laughing at, who they were criticizing, who they were condemning. All this, the scarlet robe, the crown, the reed, the bowing of their knees before him, proclaiming, "Hail, King of the Jews," was all true. But they were doing it for one purpose, and that's to mock him. Anyone that mocks the Lord Jesus will pay the price. And that price is eternity in hell. But before that, you're missing out on everything. You're missing out on the wisdom and the joy and the peace that God has to give you. Mocks him. Verse 30 and 31, they spit upon him. They took the reed and smote him on the head. So they not only put that crown of thorns up on his head, but then they took the reed and they hit it. They smacked it down. I can't imagine the pain, and I can't imagine the blood. The sight of that, and yet they found joy in that. Can you see how evil man is and why we need the Lord Jesus? Spit upon him. Spit upon him. Greatest insult. They had nothing but contempt for the Lord Jesus. Again, no greater insult could be given. And then we find here in these verses that they took the robe off in verse 31 and put his own raiment back on him and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out, this would be coming out of the city of Jerusalem, heading for Golgotha, they found this man named Simon. He was from the city of Libya. That'd be in North Africa. Him they compelled to bear his cross. It was always custom that the prisoner, the condemned man, would have to carry his cross or drag his cross out to Golgotha, to the place that they were crucified. It was a very public place. People come by there, pass by there often because it was a witness of what we do to criminals. And so on their way, the criminal would tote his cross. But you see, Jesus had been so beaten that he could not carry the cross. And so they said they compelled here. And that word compelled means to force. He was forced to bear the cross. He was not asked. They did not inquire, "Would you?" He was forced to bear the cross for the Lord Jesus, not realizing that that was an honor. That was an honor. We have several verses of Scripture here. And as we look at the 33rd verse, and when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull. Now, we have, and we're going to take the time today to look at the four Gospels, because it is so important that we see what has taken place here. And so here in Matthew chapter 27, verse 33, as we've just read, and when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull. And then as we look to Mark chapter 15, Mark chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 22, and it said, and they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. Now let's look at Luke chapter 23, verse 23. Luke 23:33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then we look at John chapter 19, verse 17. I know I'm not giving you much time to look these up, but you sure can write them down, and I'll quote them in just a minute for the scripture verse I was in. John chapter 19, verse 17, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is being in Hebrew, Golgotha. So we have that each time. And as we move through the steps of the crucifixion, and so now we come to Matthew 27, verse 34. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. It was offered to him, and the reason that this is offered is to help the pain, to numb him. But Jesus was there to face the full load of sin, and he refused. He refused. And so we have in Matthew 27:34, as we have just read, and then if we look at Mark chapter 15, verse 23, Mark 15:23, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Now you can see that this section here kind of begins as they were on their way to Golgotha in Matthew 27, verse 33. And it continues from there. And then also Mark 15:22. And then as we move forward with the crucifixion, it's going to continue in Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And also in John chapter 19, verse 17. And so that's kind of the beginning point. And so if you want to write those verses of Scripture down, you can look those up as you have time. And then we find here in Matthew chapter 27, beginning to read with verse 35 through verse 38. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. As we look to that, we find that all four of the Gospels speak of this. And so as we look now at Mark chapter 15, verse 24, we'll read down through verse 28. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. It was the third hour they crucified him, and the superscription of his accusation was written over King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Let's look at Luke, chapter 23, verse 33. Luke 23:33. And as I said earlier, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it all starts there. Matthew 27:33, it starts. Mark goes from 15:22 and begins there. Luke was 23:33, and then John at 19:17. And that's the beginning of all that we're doing, so you can follow from there. But here we're in Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And when they had come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactor, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. And if he be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. And it said, This is the King of the Jews. Let's go to John chapter 19, verse 18. Where they crucified him, and two others with him, on either side one, Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it is, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted his raiment among them. For his vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did not realize that they were fulfilling scripture. So we find as we look at all this wonderful scripture, and we looked at Golgotha, we looked at how they've offered him something to drink and he refused it. They've looked at he was nailed to the cross. And we begin with one more statement here in Luke 23. And it's in verse 34. And we've read this just a second ago, but I want to reread it, because here is where Jesus spoke. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They did not realize, they did not recognize, and even though these soldiers and all that were around them yelled and cried, "Crucify him, crucify him," those same people had an opportunity to fall on their face and say, "Father, please forgive me. I trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus." They had that opportunity. And listen to these words. And can you think what, imagine what these words were did to these people? "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What words? We have read how they parted their garments. We have read how they have mocked him. We have also read how that there were two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left. And then we come down to Luke 23:43, and we find again, "Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now those words were words of salvation to the thief. And I will back up right now to verse 39. Luke 23:39. "One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God? Seeing thou art the same, thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." We don't know what these two had done, but it was worthy of crucifixion. "But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You see, it's not the words we say, it's the heart. This man was sorry for what he'd done, realized he deserved what he was getting. Now, it didn't save him from this crucifixion, but it did gain him a place in heaven. And Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now, I'm going to take just a minute, and that's about all we have left. And that is, when I said heaven, prior to Jesus going to the grave, being in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then coming out of that grave alive until he had risen from the dead, all the Old Testament, everyone that had died prior to that time, did not go to heaven, to God's home, where we go. They went to another place, and I believe it was a place in the center of the earth called Abraham's bosom. It's called paradise. He was the one that was there the least amount of time, because he was there basically 3 days. Because he had trusted the Lord Jesus. "I'll see you there." And then he took him home to heaven. What a joy. What a joy. So you see, we have the second time Jesus spoke, and it meant a person's life. Now, in John 19:26-27 is the third time. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." That is the third time that Jesus spoke. Now, again, as always, we're out of time. But my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?